Welcome to the Life Forces podcast. I'm your host, Bianca Giuglioni. This podcast is here to help you explore different life forces for your own growth and transformation, because self-knowledge breeds self-empowerment, which creates lasting change. I'm here to help you navigate life in your own unique way for more clarity, joy, and abundance on your path ahead. You're in the right place if you're a creative, entrepreneur, or simply a spiritually curious human being. On the Life Forces podcast, we get into astrology, human design, personal growth, holistic health, spirituality, authenticity, and so much more. You'll expand your understanding of different modalities and perspectives to move in the direction of your desires. In addition to the spiritual and the numinous, you'll get practical tips on how to make tangible life changes from me and all of the fascinating experts I speak to. Thank you so much for being here with me. Let's dive right in. Hello, and thanks again for joining me here on the Life Forces podcast. I'm your host, Bianca. As always, don't think that's ever going to change. Let's see. So today we are going to discuss the astrology of Q4 2023. So that's the last 3 months of 2023. Before I get into it, I am announcing a brand new offering at some point in this episode that I think you're going to love. So stay tuned for that. And also, if you've been craving some one-on-one mentorship from yours truly, now is maybe the best time to get in on it. Cosmic Clarity Coaching is my 6-week coaching program where you will learn your astrology, your human design inside out. You might be asking me, Bianca, I'm kind of interested in those things, but what's the point? You know, can't I just look up my charts online? Like, how would I benefit from working with you? This comes straight from one of my clients, Lisa, who went through Cosmic Clarity with me. And let me just tell you what she said about it. She said, Cosmic Clarity Coaching was an outstanding experience that helped me see things clearer, understand myself better, and have a real coach to talk to. Since working with Bianca, I can manage stress way better, am less emotional about certain decisions, and prioritize my personal routines. I loved the level of transparency between Bianca and myself, the continuity of sessions, and the increased clarity of my own perceptions. I felt really aligned, happy, and centered by the end of it. So there you have it, my loves. That is just one person who's gone through Cosmic Clarity Coaching. And essentially, over the 6 weeks, we get into it all. Essentially, I'm here to help you get to where you want to be. And a lot of times it is because we are out of alignment in one way or another. And what do I mean by that? I mean that we are making decisions. We have stuff running through our heads that has very little to do with what we're meant to accomplish in this lifetime. And that might sound really big and grandiose, but I believe it's actually easier than we think to live our purpose every day. Your purpose doesn't have to be like being a tech billionaire or, I don't know, creating a new kind of airplane. It can be something like being a great parent or making the best food. Who knows, right? It's not up to me, but a lot of it will be in your own personal astrology and human design blueprint. And so not only do I like take you through all of that, but we find ways to really integrate that into your everyday life. So you're living like that. You're getting closer and closer to the person that you know you're meant to be every single day. You'll also learn strategies for managing stress, because I don't really believe we need much stress in our life at all. We kind of, you know, create more drama than we need to have. But how does that look like for you, right? To make it very personal and tangible and realistic. And also, I'm going to give you custom meditations and other strategies of how to make the best decisions for you. Because, you know, often it's like, trust your gut or like listen to your intuition to make decisions. But, you know, how do you do that? So all this to say, I would love to coach you through these things over 6 weeks in Cosmic Clarity Coaching. And do know that I'm only offering this program for the next couple of months. And in 2024, it's going to be a whole brand new thing. So if you're wanting to get in at the current price point, is that, you know, with the 6-week program where you get three full-on one-on-one sessions with me and a lot more, now is the best time for that. And the best thing is you can book a call, a free call with me for 30 minutes, and we can talk about, you know, what you're going through, what your goals are, what's preventing you from getting there, and how I could help you in that to see if we're a good match. And even if we don't work together now, we have a nice chat for 30 minutes. You know, it's not meant to pressure anyone. It's just, let's see how it flows and if it's the right time for you to invest in something like this. So if you're interested, you can book your complimentary Cosmic Clarity call in the link in the show notes, or you can go to my website, lifeforcesinc.com, and click on work with me to get more details. All right, let's get back to the astrology of Q4 2023 now. Let's dive right in. So for those of you who don't know, I'm the in-house astrologer at Aura Collective. So I highly recommend you check out the monthly holoscopes, aka holistic horoscopes. I write for them because you will get a lot more personalized insights based on your sun and rising sign. So don't miss that. And Aura Collective in general is amazing. They have so many fabulous resources for holistic health. And also, if you really don't want to miss those, I encourage you to subscribe to my email newsletter, which you will find in the show notes. So it's crazy to think that we're in the last quarter of 2023. Time flies, right? Whether or not you're having fun sometimes. I want to share with you the astrology of the next few months, not so you get scared or worried, but in order for you to be empowered to make the best of it, to find your own alignment amongst the astrological weather. So Q4, spoiler alert, has some eclipses, okay? It has some intense eclipse energy. It's also got another Mercury retrograde, okay? Brace yourself for that. But at the same time, it's the end of a few retrogrades that we've been experiencing this year. So things are definitely shifting, changing. It's not all crazy. It's obviously not all doom and gloom. And for those of you who know me or have even listened to a few episodes of this podcast, I am really not a doom and gloom kind of gal. You know, I will tell you like it is. I will tell you if things might be tricky, but I am not about disempowering you or, you know, saying everything's going to be awful, because first of all, I don't believe that. And I don't think it's helpful for you to believe that either. So voila. Okay. Let's begin with October 2023. So in the beautiful month of October, things are moving. I promise you, you will not be bored. A lot of the energy of September, especially the beginning of the month, was quite heavy, kind of slow, tricky, sticky. You know, at one point we had six planets retrograde. Okay. Six of eight planets that can be retrograde were retrograde. And as I believe I've mentioned before, when a planet is retrograde, it doesn't behave in the way that we expect it to, you know, and it's a time where we're like reviewing things and not always moving forward in the way that we expect. So things are moving, things are shaking. Mercury will be in three different signs this month of October. Venus and Mars are changing signs. Eclipse season kicks off October 14th and lasts for a couple of weeks, but you know, the effects of the eclipses will certainly linger a little bit longer, and you'll probably feel it a little bit before October 14th. And one thing I wrote in my October horoscopes for Aura Collective is that October will show us that to move forward, we must be willing to release what is holding us back. So that is a major thing to think of. A lot of it is having to do with this eclipse energy that I'll be getting into. But just remember that. If there's anything that you're clinging on to for dear life, it is time to let that stuff go so that you can move forward, get ready for the rest of the year, and move into 2024 on a vibe that is working for you. So we begin October in Libra season. Libra is a cardinal air sign. So, you know, we had the beginning of autumn in the Northern Hemisphere in September when Libra season started on the 23rd. So we're in the midst of this beautiful season of balance that's very social. There's a lot of chatting, talking, you know, being charming, wanting to get along, thinking about things like fairness, mediating different situations that might be tricky, getting to a point of justice, focusing on meeting new people and getting involved or more involved in like different close relationships in our life. The tricky stuff with Libra sometimes, you know, Libra, as it's ruled by Venus, loves beauty and getting along and aesthetics and all that. But because of that, at times, the energy of Libra can be a little bit shallow. And with this, and especially with the, you know, wanting everyone to get along kind of energy, there can be indecision and also people pleasing. So that is something to be mindful of in Libra season with all this Libra stuff happening this month. So on the 3rd, we have quite a strong energy in the cosmos. We have Mars in Libra conjoining the South Node, also in Libra. So I believe I mentioned in the Q3 astrology podcast that the North and South Node changed signs, and it was July 17th when that happened. So the North and South Node, they're not planets. They are mathematical points based on where the eclipses are occurring in a given year. The South Node is now in the sign of Libra. The North Node is now in the sign of Aries. The South Node is showing us patterns that we might be stuck in, things that we might need to overcome, and in general, stuff that we don't want to get stuck in. Whereas the North Node is showing us what we're meant to move towards, what our soul wants in terms of like a higher aspiration. And yeah, just it's kind of like our North Star. So we all have our own personal North and South Node placement. And I find that so interesting and so important for our own personal soul journey. But it's great to look at where the nodes are in general, because it kind of shows us collectively where our karma is at. So with Mars in Libra, right up against that South Node in Libra, there's this idea of a karmic release of things like anger and resentment, especially when it comes to close relationships. Because remember, Libra can really represent relating yourself to the other, you know, the mirror of the other. Whereas Aries, its opposite, where the North Node is very much about the individual. So the 3rd, and even later in the month, but especially the 3rd, is a great time if you feel like you've been holding any resentment towards others, anger, you know, whether it's you think it's toward other people or maybe it's just your role in the relationship, it's time to find a way to let that go. And you can also look to where Libra is in your chart, to what house it falls into for more themes about what to release. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, especially when I'm, you know, speaking about houses in astrology, it's a bit more of an advanced thing. Not to worry, because I have not one, but 2 new things that will support you in this journey, especially when it has to do with astrology and learning your own astrology stuff. And I'm going to give some more details about that later in the episode. But one of the things has to do with eclipses and the North and South nodes and figuring out how to harness all that for your highest potential. Moving on to different Libra stuff is on the 5th, we have Mercury moving into the sign of Libra. Mercury has been in Virgo before this. And Mercury in Libra, you know, Mercury is communication, how we speak to one another, how we process information. The vibe is even more social and charming, engaging in conversation. Maybe your mind is drifting off to like things having to do with pleasure and beauty and art. Maybe there's a lot of creativity coming up for you around this time. Maybe in general, you want to focus on creating more beauty in your life, whatever that means. You know, maybe it's in your house, maybe it's a new haircut, something like this. And then on the 9th, Venus moves signs, freaking finally, because as you might remember, Venus was in Leo for a very long time due to the Venus retrograde period we experienced this summer. So now that Venus is in Virgo, as someone, you know, I have Venus in Virgo in my chart, so I understand the Venus in Virgo vibe, and it's not always the most fun, let's just say, right? Remember, Venus has to do with relationship and also values, things like this, what we value in others, but also what we value, you know, in our own lives. The Venus in Virgo energy can be a little nitpicky and particular when it comes to who they're dating or the close friends they're bringing into their life or business partners, whatever it is. But it's also a great time to think about acts of service in relationship, especially in a grounded, practical way, as we're here in an earth sign. Virgo's an earth sign. And yeah, just finding ways to do things right, you know, to be precise, to remember, oh, his favorite dessert is this, and I'm going to remember to bring it to him on this day for no reason, you know, just to, as an act of kindness. And also, one thing that can be very interesting with Venus and Virgo energy is to notice the quote unquote mistakes that you observe in others and see them as a portal to a deeper understanding of them, of humans, of yourself, right? So it's like, if I think someone is too loud, is that really what's bothering me? Or is this reflecting back something within me that maybe I don't like about myself, that I'm insecure about, something like that? I'm giving a very vague example, but I think you get what I mean. With Venus in Virgo, the thing that's also not so fun about it, especially in the context of current astrology, is that Venus in Virgo is opposite to Saturn in Pisces, especially on the 10th. It's quite exactly opposite to Saturn in Pisces. And this could really create some harsh kind of vibes in our relationships, right? Because Venus is more flowy. It wants to connect. It wants to vibe. And then Saturn is like boundaries, restrictions, maybe feeling blocked in certain ways. Could be that a crisis comes up in a relationship, you know, a close relationship you have. This is a great time to really examine your current relationships. This energy is perfect for that. And Virgo, Venus and Virgo in particular, is really good to help you check out the details. So it's like, okay, you know, I've had this friendship for however many years. What's really good with it? You know, like, what's really the deal? It's like, okay, I like this person, but maybe I always reach out and that's feeling a bit exhausting for me. Something like that, right? So just getting real about how your relationships are. And Saturn in particular, and especially being in the sign of Pisces, can really also help maybe contain certain emotions, like in a way that's productive, and also like have boundaries around them. So it's like, have I been the person that's dumping things on my friends all the time, you know, or dumping things on my partner all the time? Maybe Saturn is giving me a reality check about this. And also, notice if any relationships in your life are making very heavy demands on you and are just not flowing in the way that you want them to. So then on the 11th, Pluto stations direct in Capricorn. Woohoo! So here we are going to be integrating what we may have found beneath the surface and also like transformations and stuff that we've experienced while Pluto has been retrograde. And it's also the last little gasp, last little time period of Pluto being in the sign of Capricorn. So remember, Pluto, it's, you know, in Western astrology, it's the furthest planet in our solar system. It's very mysterious, but it's also about like death, rebirth, transformation, hidden things kind of emerging, right? So because it's been in the sign of Capricorn during this retrograde period for part of it, and Capricorn, especially when it comes to an outer planet like Pluto, can really have to do with institutions, right? With bigger structures in our society. So I think likely what we're going to see from October 11th onward, especially before Pluto goes back into Aquarius, where it was for part of this year, I think we're going to see the transformation of a lot of different institutions in our lives. So this can be something as big as a government of a country. This can be smaller, like, you know, some structures in our cities or in our communities, banks, things like that. Let's see what happens. Then we have Mars moving into Scorpio on the 12th. So here our actions are transformative, they're powerful. We may also feel compelled to act on emotions for better or for worse. And these actions maybe are a little bit like, could be stubborn because Scorpio is a fixed sign, which is very like, this is what I want. Maybe could also be obsessive because Scorpio sometimes has a bit of that obsessive kind of energy. So just something to be mindful of. So then we have one of the main events of October, which is on the 14th. We have the solar eclipse in Libra. Yep. So this is when eclipse season begins. And eclipses in general, they've been referred to as new and full moons on steroids. Because they're so close to the lunar nodes, which I mentioned earlier in this episode, they're really having to do with karma, with moving towards our destiny, with like the past meeting the future, meeting the present. It's, you know, it can be a lot. The energy of them is often very unstable as well. So that's important to note. Like if you can avoid making major, 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 major plans, especially when it comes to things that you're not sure about how they'll go, maybe don't schedule those around eclipses. This solar eclipse in Libra is opening a portal to major beginnings and endings. We have an eclipse on this Aries Libra axis, and it's a solar eclipse having to do with the new moon. So this is really about like new beginnings, but also endings. So it's this like bit of a paradox. It'll show us for sure what we still need to let go of, especially when it comes to things like people pleasing or just straight up unhealthy dynamics with others, because we've got the South Node in Libra in the mix. Then on the 20th, we have the sun making conjunction to Mercury in Libra. So we have what's called Mercury Kazimi. And this is a great day to gain any insights, especially when it comes to topics like relationships, balance, beauty, art, all that great Libra kind of stuff. So keep your mind open for that, especially if there's certain things that you've observed around the solar eclipse in Libra, like see what else is coming up around the 20th. Then on the 22nd, Mercury moves into the sign of Scorpio. So Mercury, nice old planet of messages and communications in Scorpio, you know, we're going deep, we're getting into it. We might even get a little bit vulnerable. We might feel more compelled to investigate things and, you know, dive into the mysteries of life. The next day, the sun moves into Scorpio, therefore Scorpio season starts on the 23rd. And here, a season of emotional depth, intensity, and revelation of truth is illuminated. And I like thinking about the phrase, still water runs deep with Scorpio energy, because Scorpio is a water sign, but it's a fixed water sign. So, you know, if it's water, it's still, it's not going anywhere. But with still water, you don't really know its depth. You can't really understand its depth until you put your leg in the water, or put your foot in, or so, you know what I mean? You don't know how deep it can be. So there's this thing, I think, with Scorpio energy. It can be very intimidating, but there's so much more going on under the surface. There's mystery. But I think there's also emotional self-awareness, you know, in people with a lot of Scorpio energy, for example. And as I kind of mentioned before, with Mars in Scorpio, there can be a little bit of an obsession because they want to investigate things, or Scorpio energy is very much about investigating and getting to the heart of a matter. And with that, you know, there can be this transformation into just full-on obsession, which can maybe be good in some circumstances, but maybe not so helpful in others. So then we get to the 28th. Eclipse vibes again. We have the lunar eclipse in Taurus. And this is also an important one because this is concluding the series of eclipses on the Taurus-Scorpio axis. Because before we had this new series of eclipses in Aries and Libra, right? 2 weeks before this lunar eclipse, we have the solar eclipse in Libra. We had eclipses on the Taurus-Scorpio axis. And that all kicked off actually in 2021. Essentially, the lunar nodes stay in, you know, two opposite signs for approximately 18 months. So we roughly have eclipses in those two signs for 18 months. So this is really representing the end of a chapter. This is because it is a lunar eclipse, right? So it's a full moon on steroids, which always represents the ending of a cycle, you know, celebration, things like this. And this Taurus Scorpio axis transformation in terms of the eclipses, to me, represented a lot of changes in the way that we related to the earth, to resources like money, the financial system, the environment, Mother Nature on a whole, etc., right? Because the North Node was in Taurus, which is what we were collectively moving towards, and the South Node was in Scorpio. And with the South Node in Scorpio, I think there was a lot of exposure of hidden power dynamics and things like that. And also, I just think, to like put it very plainly, like, because sometimes Scorpio can be very obsessive and like in the thick of it, Taurus is kind of more about just like surface level pleasures. So it's like remembering to ground ourselves in nature instead of going into like a negativity spiral or something. So just to keep it very simple. And what I see for this lunar eclipse in Taurus is Pluto is forming a square to the north and south nodes. So to me, this is pointing to some kind of like crucial need for deep transformation, death, and rebirth of different things, maybe institutions, right? Because of Pluto and Capricorn, which I spoke about. But in our own personal lives, I think there will be this call to change certain things deep within us. The moon in Taurus is quite close to Uranus in Taurus during this eclipse, which can bring quite a lot of unstable energy, but can also kind of like shake us out of things that we need to be shaken out of. Could be productive disruption, productive changes. So something that I notice with this lunar eclipse in Taurus is that Mars in Scorpio is opposite Jupiter retrograde in Taurus. So this can be helpful in some ways because we have more energy. We're able to do things in a big way. Ambition and courage are on our sides. And because Jupiter is still retrograde, there's some like reflective energy here. So it's not like, oh, I'm just going to like do this thing out of nowhere. It's like maybe, oh, I've been thinking of doing this thing. And because I've been considering it so much and I believe in myself, I'm really going to do it. Mars is also very close to Mercury. So this could mean that, you know, our words are a little more cutting. They cut deep, you know, because we've got Mercury and Mars together in Scorpio. So something to be aware of, like there could be the potential of a lot of harsh kind of stuff, you know, speaking not so kindly to other people. So that is just something to keep in mind. So that concludes the astrology of October. And before we get into the rest of the episode, the rest of the year, I would love to share with you a new offering coming this October just for you. Total Eclipse Clarity is coming in October. So this is a program and offering that I have designed for you to navigate through this eclipse season and beyond, because the eclipses happening in the sign of Aries and Libra are sticking around. The lunar nodes, which are responsible for what signs the eclipses are in, change every 18 months. So this cycle of Aries and Libra started July 17th of this year, 2023, and it's lasting until January 11th, 2025. So what I'm teaching you in this workshop is going to serve you for the next year or so and after. This Total Eclipse Clarity workshop, masterclass, whatever you want to call it, is going to include a 1 hour masterclass and Q&A on October 14th. Whether or not you can make it live, it'll be recorded. It'll be a resource for you. And in it, I'm going to cover the lunar nodes, the North and South node, and your destiny. What do they mean for us collectively? What do they mean for us individually? Then we're going to look at your own personal North and South nodes. What does it mean for your soul's purpose? These are a major key to unlocking so much in your life. Once I found out about mine, honestly, a lot of things shifted and I understood what was important to prioritize. So we're going to learn that, and we're going to learn how to make the most of these eclipses in Aries and Libra. Because the North Node is in Aries, we're moving towards Aries energy collectively. That's about being independent, being willing to start things, setting boundaries, taking action, doing your own thing. We're releasing and moving away from some Libra shadow stuff, which can be about people pleasing, about codependency, about being indecisive, right? So there's going to be lots of resources to support you in that beyond the masterclass. There will be meditations, there will be tips for eclipse season and beyond, journal prompts, other resources that you can go back to over and over again. I'm offering an exclusive presale price to podcast listeners, to my loyal Life Forces podcast people. All you have to do is DM me at Life Forces Inc. on Instagram, or send me an email at bianca@lifeforcesinc.com mentioning Eclipse, mentioning the Eclipse Masterclass, and you will get an exclusive link to access presale pricing that you're not going to find anywhere else. So stay tuned for the Total Eclipse Clarity Masterclass dropping on October 14th. But now let's get back to the episode. All right, my loves. So now we are in the beautiful month of November in our Q4 astrology journey. November's vibe is kind of shadowed by this Mars conjuncting the Sun with a trine to Neptune. Here we can have a lot of like frustration and fights also coming out of that Mercury conjunct Mars in Scorpio with those words that cut really deep. So just be mindful of that. And yeah, we're in Scorpio season. Things can be a little intense, but ask yourself, how can you use the intensity and the depth to your benefit or to create things with others that are really amazing and profound? On the 4th of November, Saturn stations direct in Pisces. So for the period of Saturn retrograde before this, you know, for the past 5 months, maybe there were moments where we were revisiting things, renegotiating things like our responsibility and our boundaries. And now is the time to implement all of those. So it's like, okay, I saw where I need to have better boundaries with my emotions or with this person or with work or whatever it is. So great time to implement them starting November 4th. Saturn is back in Pisces. We're back in the Saturn and Pisces energy. A lot of it can be about understanding, containing our emotions, and also things like spirituality are going to continue to be put into question. Then on the 8th, Venus moves into the sign of Libra. This is a lovely place for Libra to be in its home, one of its home signs. So in terms of relationships, this is a great time for any sort of intrapersonal experiences, getting into beauty, harmony, art, aesthetics, social niceties, just like being kind to everyone, or at least polite on the surface. Then on the 10th, Mercury moves into the sign of Sagittarius. And Mercury in Sagittarius is pretty interesting because Sagittarius, while it's a fire sign, is a pretty intellectual sign, right? So with Mercury in Sag, there's this idea of the super conscious mind. So like having really big insights about things, trying to find the truth in things, using our mental processes in the pursuit of these bigger truths. I mean, Sagittarius has such like a friendly, outgoing, optimistic energy. It's also very direct, for better or for worse. It can also really jump to conclusions. So just something to notice, like starting the 10th of November, are people around you kind of like jumping to conclusions more than usual? Is that working? Is that a little problematic? Let's see. And there's also this more like extroversion compared to Mercury in Scorpio that might keep its cards close to its chest. Mercury in Sagittarius is more out there, more outgoing, and also more willing to take risks. So maybe like intellectual risks, you know, like saying things you wouldn't normally say or thinking things you wouldn't normally think, to be quite honest. What's nice about where Mercury and Venus are, Mercury's going to be sextile Venus for quite a lot of November, which is really nice vibes for like getting to know people, speaking to people, experiencing art and things like this. On the 11th, however, we're going to experience Mars and Scorpio exactly opposite to Uranus and Taurus. Mars and Scorpio, again, can be really like intense, powerful actions, maybe sometimes obsessive. You know, having an opposition to Uranus, this can be like sudden actions, tense actions, unexpected actions, possible accidents. So be mindful of that. I would say, especially if you have heavy Scorpio placements, heavy Taurus placements, or lots of Aquarius and Leo stuff going on, because then there's some squares happening. Anyway, just to be mindful of that. It's also maybe going to make a lot of us feel this necessity to be decisive about things. And there's also this capability of being quite destructive. So just take a note of that. Then on November 13th, we have our first lunation of the month, our first big moon event, which is the new moon in Scorpio. Not an eclipse, okay? So eclipse season is over. We might be feeling some of those effects still, especially from the lunar eclipse in Taurus, which was more recent, but not an eclipse, okay? Not a full or new moon on steroids, just a new moon in Scorpio. But is it just a new moon in Scorpio? I think that wouldn't be doing it justice. This new moon is, you know, still very close to Mars. It's basically conjunct Mars, right? So that's like a lot of fiery stuff going on, a lot of action, a lot of aggression possibly, and it's opposite Uranus. So we still have this color of that Mars in Scorpio opposite Uranus, which was exact a couple days before. It's still present now. So I kind of conceived when I was writing my notes for this episode of like this new moon in Scorpio is bringing spicy, unexpected events, spicy, unexpected new beginnings also, right? Because new moon, new beginnings. At the same time, we have the moon forming a trine to Neptune. So there's this vibe of sensitivity, oneness, spirituality. And there's almost this dichotomy here. On the one hand, because of the moon-Neptune situation and the fact that it's a new moon, it's in Scorpio, it's very deep, there's this like spiritual awakening energy. So some of you might feel more on that end of the spectrum. And then because of this like Mars-Uranus stuff, there's this like getting triggered and feeling attacked kind of energy. So, you know, maybe you're on one side or the other. Maybe it's a funky combination of both. Let's see. We also have Pluto forming a square to the lunar nodes, so to the north node in Aries and the south node in Libra. And to me, this speaks to a real urgency to transform, a pressure to transform, an emphasis on moving towards that north node in Aries stuff, which is about being an individual, setting your boundaries, doing what you want to do, going after what you want, and not making excuses. So that is also going to be highlighted on the new moon in Scorpio. So any new moon is a great time for setting intentions. With the new moon in Scorpio specifically, we can look at things like transformation, rebirth, depth, looking into your soul, doing deep emotional healing, investigating something very deeply, obsessions, whether or not you want to become more or less obsessed with something, for example. Those are some themes to think about if you're wanting to set intentions and if you're wanting to kind of initiate new beginnings on the new moon in Scorpio. So then on the 18th, we have an official Sun-Mars conjunction. So the Sun and Mars are in the same degree of Scorpio on the 18th. Uranus is still in the mix. It's trining Uranus now. So again, possible spiciness, possible aggression, fighting of various sorts. And, you know, trine Uranus, there's this like desire to like break free maybe with our actions, or just again, like unexpected things happening. So finally on the 22nd, we move into Sagittarius season. Yay! I like to use this kind of example visual thing. The glyph or the symbol for Scorpio has like a little tail at the end, right? Like the scorpion's tail. And it's like kind of pointing downwards. So it's going into the ground. It's going into depth and all that stuff. And then the symbol for Sagittarius is an arrow pointing upwards. So it's like in Scorpio, we go into the depths of things, into the depths of our soul. And then in Sagittarius, we come up for air and we look at the bigger picture of things. So here, Sagittarius is ruled by the planet Jupiter, all about expansion, independence, freedom, moving towards the future, can be about traveling, long distance travel, especially foreign people and places. So, you know, understanding different cultures, getting into spiritual philosophy, higher understanding of things, and like a greater perception. It's really about big picture thinking here, asking and maybe getting answers for the big questions in life. That's what Sagittarius season is all about. It's also a fire sign, right? So there's action involved. There's this wanting to move, this freedom, as I described. And it's also a mutable sign. So it's very adaptable, flexible, getting into different things. On the 24th, then we get Mars moving into the sign of Sagittarius, which helps our actions align more with this Sagittarius energy. When Mars is in a fire sign, it's generally pretty happy. This might compel some of us to want to explore more physically, to want to be a little more physically active, to maybe even travel also. On the 25th, we have Mars in Sagittarius forming a square to Saturn in Pisces. So, you know, all that optimism and excitement of moving forward on the 24th, there might be a little feeling of like, okay, like let's check in and make sure this is okay, right? Saturn is like, let's double check what's happening. Let's double check your intentions. Maybe I'm gonna put a little block in your way to create a little challenge so you realize what's really important and what actions you actually want to focus on. So just be mindful of that on the 25th. And this astrological weather definitely influences the full moon in Gemini we have on the 26th or 27th, depending on where you're located. Yeah, this one is in a configuration with Mars in Sagittarius and Saturn in Pisces. So there's a lot going on. These are all mutable signs. Mutable signs can be a little chaotic, right? Because they're movable, flexible, adaptable. They're not so steady, right? And so we have Mars again. We have Mars again in this lunation, but it's this full moon in Gemini. So Mars comes into the picture again. What does Mars want to tell us? Is Mars trying to get us to do things, to move? There's something there, right? So the sun is forming a square to Saturn and Pisces, and so is Mars, as I explained. So again, there's this kind of restraint with this full moon. It's not really like, oh, full speed ahead, like do whatever you want. It's kind of like, let's check in. Let's see what kind of energy is building up in us and just making sure it's in integrity with how we want to move in general. Mercury is forming a square to Neptune. It's quite exact here. So this can be a bit of like confusing, weird energy, but it's also great for creativity, new ideas, and inspiration. Because after all, this is a full moon in Gemini. Gemini is an air sign. The Gemini stereotypical thing is just being very creative and having all these ideas and being very witty and can say whatever, you know? So it is a nice full moon to get interesting, like creative inspiration. It might not be the best time to like go forth and do things, let's say. And then Mercury in Sagittarius is also forming a sextile to Venus in Libra. So while some things might feel a bit like frustrated and stunted, there's this overall energy of like quite a social, pleasant vibe. You know, I like the like Mercury in Sag and Venus in Libra. It's very like socializing, party kind of energy. So it might not be the best day to like get things done or accomplish your goals or do the last thing on your to-do list. It might just be a nice time, if you're not in an aggressive mood, to just be at a party, have fun, talk a lot, and maybe also like experience art or beauty that's like very mind expanding. Like this could be a cool night for a gallery opening or an art event where you just talk and explore, but you don't try to do any serious networking, let's say. So that is what I've got for November. Now let's move on to December, the last month of 2023. Oh my goodness. So December is going to be pretty interesting, partly because we've got Mercury retrograde in Capricorn starting December 13th. So that will kind of overshadow a lot of our holiday season. Woo, so fun. But there's a lot of nice energy towards the end of December, so not to fret or to despair. So let's look at the beginning of December. Mercury moves into Capricorn on December 1st. So Mercury's going to be retrograde in Capricorn later on. I'll talk about that in just a minute. So Mercury moves from very expansive, you know, wanting to search for the wider truth, very explorational Mercury in Sagittarius to Capricorn, which is more like, I'm focused on the practical things. I'm focused on the ways that I can realistically move to the next step. It's thinking about things like career, ambition, getting the right resources together. It's maybe not as fun, to be honest. It's not as much of a fun energy. It's a little more of a somber, serious energy finishing up the year. It's more like, okay, did you accomplish the goals that you intended to accomplish this year or not? It's a great opportunity to kind of recalibrate if you've lost the plot with some things that you wanted to accomplish this year. Then on December 4th, Venus moves into the sign of Scorpio. So Venus, relationships, love, values, money, moves into Scorpio. So the vibe here can be kind of obsessive love, maybe possessive love, or also viewing your relationships, experiencing relationships on a really deep emotional level, which is also great. It's interesting because Venus in Scorpio is going to be in quite a tight opposition to Jupiter in Taurus, which can actually make things more fun. So it can actually bring a little bit of levity to this like intense Venus in Scorpio stuff. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, anytime we have Jupiter in the mix, like especially with an opposition like this, there can be a tendency to overdo things. So just be mindful, especially if you're in some kind of newer relationship, even if it's a friendship or business partnership. It's like, am I overdoing things? Is the other person overdoing things? Is this actually what I want, or is there some kind of exaggeration going on? So just keep that in mind. Then on December 6th, Neptune direct is over. So we're going to have a couple planets go direct in December, bringing a little bit more clarity and forward motion, which is always nice. So with Neptune stationing direct in Pisces on the 6th, a lot of the kind of spiritual exploration that was more inner will be kind of able to be worked out in the 3D world in like an outer way. So any kind of insights you've had, especially related to like spirituality and creativity and oneness, you might be able to implement those more effectively after December 6th. So then on the 12th, we have the new moon in Sagittarius, the last new moon of the year. Woohoo, how cool. We do have Mars here in the mix, but it's not as smushed up against the sun, thankfully, like was with the Gemini full moon. we had in November. So let's take a look at what is going on with this new moon. So again, because it's a new moon and it's in Sagittarius, it's a great opportunity to set intentions for things like expansion, growth, higher education, long distance travel, and just answering the big questions of life. What's interesting about this one is it's forming a square to Neptune, which has recently gone direct. So it's really like dreamy, some strange moods and feelings might come up. Misunderstandings are very much possible. So it's very important to be clear in your communication and also don't jump to conclusions, which Sagittarius sometimes love to do. Looking at what Jupiter is doing, because this new moon being in Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, we have Jupiter and Taurus forming a trine to Mercury and Capricorn. So what's nice about this is going to really help us communicate better. So like, yes, we have the Neptune square, but this is helping to stabilize communications a bit more. It's really about speaking about what you need practically, thinking about making things happen in the material world. And it's really not about like waiting around, right? It's like Mercury is in this great line with Jupiter in Earth signs. Let's make it happen in the real world. And it's also about sharing your point of view in a more grounded way, which can also help balance out the Neptune fuzziness in the mix. Yeah, I think this is overall going to be a pretty fun new moon because we also have Jupiter opposite Venus still. So this is very fun. This can be an energy of overdoing things, so just be mindful of that. We could be a bit careless here. And another theme with this Venus opposite Jupiter is we might not understand the limits of our relationships. So just be mindful, notice within yourself, and even ask others if it's important about things like closeness versus the need for space. Because obviously with Venus and Scorpio, especially, we want to be really close to people. We want to like get into their soul, understand like the inner workings of them. But then Jupiter is kind of like, okay, I need a minute to just like be myself and like not be entangled with you as much as I might love you. Yeah. So that's the new moon in Sagittarius, which I think overall is going to be pretty fun. Let's see how that shakes out. So shortly after the new moon in Sagittarius on the 12th, on the 13th, we have Mercury stationing retrograde in Capricorn. How fun. And this is going to last until January 1st, 2024. So really this is coloring the rest of 2023. And it's been interesting because for the most part this year, the Mercury retrogrades have been in Earth signs. And what I think this is urging us to examine and to reflect on is more grounded kinds of insights, more grounded kind of communication, feeling a sense of a stable mind as much as possible, being in these earth signs. This is a great opportunity from the 13th of December until the rest of the year to really reflect on how you have grown slowly and deliberately and in a very Saturnian way. How have you taken responsibility? How can you take more responsibility for different areas of your life? How can you fully take responsibility for your success and not blame things on other people so much? Something to think about. So then we don't have anything major happening again until the 21st when we have Venus in Scorpio forming an opposition, this time to Uranus in Taurus. So much fun. So again, Uranus can be about wanting to break free, sudden things happening, rebellion. So here we could have sudden changes in our relationships, a crush coming out of nowhere, shaking things up. Let's see how things are going to be shaken up in our relationships on the 21st. Around that same time, we have the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere and Capricorn season begins. So again, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. Saturn in ancient times was always conceived as this very like cold planet. And I think to a certain extent, that's been kind of proven scientifically true. So there's this seriousness and also this distance with Saturn energy and with Capricorn. So it's kind of like we're starting out the winter. We're in the beginning of winter. Things move slowly. We have to be more deliberate about things and sometimes a little bit more serious. You know, there's really not so much light out there. There's not as much movement, but there's so much potential, right? It's the start of the season. Capricorn is still a cardinal sign, so it does want to initiate things. So what kind of solid things can you initiate for the rest of 2023 moving into 2024? On the 22nd, we have a Sun-Mercury retrograde conjunction. So this is a great time to really reflect on all those awesome Capricorn themes, such as responsibility, looking at things more long-term, and kind of leaning into a very boss energy, being able to manage different parts of your life in a really strong, foundational kind of way. So then on the 23rd, Mercury retrograde actually dips into Sagittarius. And this is the only time, I believe, this year that Mercury retrograde moves through a fire sign. And so this is a great opportunity. You know, it's like around Christmas, around the holidays, to really tune into very expansive insight. We might be in the winter, which is especially at the end of the year, things are kind of winding down. But what really interesting insights are coming to you around the 23rd of December? Then on the 26th, we have Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius squaring Neptune, comes back to square Neptune in Pisces. Thank you so much for that, Neptune and Mercury. So again, misunderstandings can happen. Be mindful. This is around Christmas time. We might be with family. We might be with people we don't see very often. We might be with people, frankly, we don't really want to see. So just note that there could be misunderstandings there. But there's also lots of potential for creative energy. So if there's anything remotely creative that you like to do, maybe that would be a good outlet for possible funky miscommunications that happen, to channel any frustration or emotions. Then on the 27th, we have the last full moon of the year in the sign of Cancer. Cancer is, of course, the opposite sign to Capricorn. So Capricorn can be this more like serious boss energy. And Cancer is the softer kind of mom nurturing energy. This is an amazing moment, in my opinion, to really get into some self-care, whatever that means for you. Yes, it can be like doing a face mask. It can also just mean like going for a walk by yourself, nurturing yourself, cooking a good meal. It's a nice time to really get cozy and maybe take a step back from family, especially with the Mercury retrograde, Neptune, Mars stuff that can be a bit interesting. It's a good time to spend time nurturing yourself or in the company of people who maybe won't trigger you as much. Take a break from the people that might be bringing some things up and shift gears and maybe process and just feel cozy with people who like get you and won't activate you in that way. So this full moon has, it's sextiling Jupiter and Taurus. So I love this for a sense of optimism and also just like friendship and getting along with certain people. It's interesting also because the moon is forming a trine to Saturn. So it does make it a little bit more Capricorn flavored. Like it's about putting, having the demands of the world in balance with your emotional needs. So there is this a capability of being a little more objective, but of course, because it's a full moon in Cancer and even, you know, Saturn is in Pisces, a water sign, there's still some like watery subjectivity here. But also it's a great time to look ahead and maybe plan for the future. So like your self-care can be, let me start thinking about my intentions for 2024, for example. On the same day, Mercury retrograde is going to be conjunct Mars. So again, as I said, there's like some funky stuff. There might be some words that you say that aren't very nice, that other people that say that are a little sharp. Let's see what happens. Then luckily, the 29th and the last few days of December are a bit more fun. We've got Venus moving to Sagittarius on the 29th, which is like good vibes, feeling expansive in our relationships, maybe meeting new people, nice energy coming in. Then on the 30th or 31st, depending on where you're located, we have Jupiter stationing direct in Taurus, which is lovely. It can be this like almost like jolly energy. Jupiter is the most Santa of all the planets, if that makes sense. You know, it's just like, ho, 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 expansive, happy, jolly, no worries. So that's a nice way to end off the year. Venus and Sagittarius and Jupiter and Taurus are in what's called mutual reception, meaning Venus rules Taurus, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. So there's kind of like a nice swap going on. So it's a nice combination for the end of the year. Like New Year's Eve, I think, is going to be a good vibe. So even this period of time, like around the 27th, can be good to start thinking about your New Year's resolutions or intentions for 2024. But certainly at the end of the year, the 30th and 31st, we're starting the year off right. There's good vibes abound, in my humble opinion. So thank you so much for listening to this Q4 astrology rundown. I love doing these episodes. It also gives me a great chance to really look ahead at the next few months. And if you have any questions about anything I covered in this episode that's confusing, please let me know. You can DM me, whatever you'd like. And I'm going to have more resources for y'all soon to really understand astrology better. That's coming soon. Let's see. And yeah, I just wanted to remind you about Total Eclipse Clarity coming in October, October 14th to be exact. And just to underline, eclipses are always major portals of change, whether or not we notice them. And because they're having to do with the lunar nodes, it was really about what our soul is moving towards. So if you want to tap into that, I highly recommend this Total Eclipse Clarity workshop offering support coming up. And again, DM me if you're curious about that, and I'll give you a nice discount. And yeah, Cosmic Clarity coaching. If you want to work with me one-on-one, details in the show notes. And as always, thank you so, so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. Share this with a friend, with your astro bestie, whoever else. And I will see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Life Forces podcast. If you loved what was shared, got inspired, or took something valuable from it, I would love if you could give me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or even share this episode with a friend. I deeply appreciate it, and it really helps the podcast grow. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. To stay connected, you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Life Forces Inc. and visit lifeforcesinc.com for more information about how to work with me. Until next time, stay you.